Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jeffrey, who has been with us a few times in the past on the Good News Updates, and he's here with us this evening to talk about the Awareness Coaches Program. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Well, hi there. Indeed, it's my pleasure to be back again.
Again, exactly. This time, you know, I realized we had to have awareness coaching as a topic on the Good News Update when just over and over again in the context of the radio show and at-home retreats and even we're in the middle of a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and I've heard people refer to it here and say, oh, I have this awareness coach, and it's just changing everything, and it's making such a big impact on my practice, and thought, well, we've got to find out about this program then.
Indeed. Well, everybody seems, it's just a projection, but everybody seems pretty lit up about what's happening in the program.
So tell us about the program. What is it? How does it work?
Well, yes, and I myself am very lit up, so I'll try to give you a couple of words in edgewise.
Okay.
As we go.
That's
all right. So exciting. The program, as a few things have been evolving in the program, and that's one of the wonderful things about our practice. It is open to change and changing things so that they're more supportive to the heart. And, if anybody started in something like the Reflective Listening Buddies, the guidelines have evolved over time, and the coaching program has done that as well. So if you've been in coaching for a long time, then you might not recognize some of the new stuff that's about to hit the scene in the coaching program.
Oh,
I'm excited.
Okay.
Yeah. If you were to sign up for coaching now, what you'd be presented with is a choice to do 6 weeks of coaching. They're weekly sessions. They're over the phone. They're 15 minutes each, and you look in depth at an aspect of your practice. And, I'll stop there. Do you have anything to, where do you want to go from here?
Oh, you're doing a great job. Yeah, no.
Thank you.
There is one thing. I did just want to underline what you said about how that's such a beautiful feature of practice, that it changes with what's appropriate, with what the Sangha needs, with where the Sangha is, with where people in practice are. And so it's really great that the coaching program, of course, is doing that too, to really tailor to what is it that folks in the Sangha need that's going to be most supportive to practice. So, yay. Excellent.
Yes, and that's exactly one of the best things about this program, is that it's tailored to the individual's practice. You have personal interaction with a coach that can help you keep commitments and see deep things about your practice and continue to help you feel connected to the Sangha.
And
pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. Very amazing. I've heard Sherry refer to it as, maybe it was Ashwini at the first one to say it, but it's a group of one. And that all the facilitation is with you. I mean, what an enormous privilege, really, to have that chunk of time where you get to look, you know, really shine a light on your practice, where it is, you know, what's next, what commitments you want to make, and that sort of thing, with someone who is a very seasoned practitioner. So has likely been in all the places that you're exploring as you're doing the coaching.
Indeed, which is a great point also, that within the coaching program, there are people who are brand new and are just starting recording and listening, for example. And there are also quite seasoned practitioners who have a coach.
Yeah, yes.
And the way the program is designed, it is like, as you were saying, a group of one. It's directed, it's specific, and it's private as well. So you really get a chance to see quite a lot about your personal practice.
Uh-huh. It's private. That's a good point. It makes me, reminds me of the point that I'm sure what can be so beneficial about it is that often in group discussions and that sort of thing, it's not that we can't talk about the content, because content in our lives often illustrates the process that we're looking at. But in a one-on-one coaching situation, you might really want to work on a particular aspect of content over time with your coach. And there's the ability to do that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be applicable and interesting to an entire group of people because it's just you and your coach.
Oh, yeah. And of course, there are all the classic examples. People come to this sort of coaching program for health and fitness, for money, looking at, you know, a specific piece of their particular, like recording and listening, their particular practice that they really want to highlight and focus on.
Yeah, relationships, job,
yep,
whatever it is that they're ready to bring into their practice.
Yeah, and we have found that 6 weeks is a really helpful commitment to gain access to quite a lot of insight on a specific issue.
Yeah, so you said there's a weekly call?
Correct, and the calls are 15 minutes. There's an initial phone call that's a little bit longer to help introduce the program and begin, and then calls after that are every week for 15 minutes.
Great.
Which is a beautiful way to check in with your own practice and, of course, to chat with your coach about what's going on, what you've seen.
And, you know, so often you hear people talk about having a coach in any area of their lives so ups the accountability of the commitments that we're making.
Absolutely.
So if I want to commit to whatever it is, you know, if to take a sports analogy, I really want to start a running practice. And so I commit to X, Y, and Z. And if I know that, you know, once a week I'm going to be checking in with my running coach, then that really ups my, at least for me, it ups my, oh, that's right, I really want to do it. You know, I don't want to go to my running coach and say, so how's your running going? Well, actually, I haven't run in the last week. I don't want to do that. You know?
Yeah. And, of course, it's okay if that stuff happens, but it does up that accountability.
And what's so great about it, of course, is that the commitment was made in the first place for me. Do you know? It's a commitment to my heart, to my
purpose.
It's for me. And so it's not an accountability in terms of punishment or in terms of, you know, I have to try to be the right person, but I want the accountability because I want this for me. This is what I want for this being. And I want that extra support of really being able to follow through with that.
Yep, it's a huge, huge statement to life, to the voices of conditioning. It's a huge, huge thing to do. It's a very brave step in some ways.
Well, that's a good point, and that right there. So whenever we're ready to take the next level of commitment and practice, the voices are going to go crazy.
Exactly, and the great thing about coaching is then the next week you have a call, and you can say what the voices were saying.
Yep. In fact, we're right in the middle of a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat right now, and that's exactly the process that we're looking at, is how important it is to recognize that, you know, of course the voices are going to do what the voices do, and in fact, the farther we go and the more committed we become to practice, the deeper our practice is, the more the voices are going to come at us, the more we want to reach out for support from Sangha. And in this way particular, it's such a great way to do that, to have an awareness coach.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Someone who is doing their own practice, who's conscious and aware as they can be, and is focused on what you would like to be your next step. Pretty awesome.
It is. It really is. And that's a really, that's a powerful piece of the practice in general, what you just said, which is that everyone in whatever sort of role, if you will, that they're taking in Sangha, so maybe I'm a retreatant, maybe I'm the facilitator, maybe I'm cooking the meals, maybe I'm the awareness coach, maybe I'm the person being coached, whatever, maybe I'm the caller on the radio show, maybe I'm the host on the radio show, we're all doing practice.
Yes, and I think I'm preaching to the choir with this one, but it is so wonderful. It has been so spectacular for my practice, for all of us, you know, who are coaching. We need to show up in a certain way to be that kind of support. So it's great for everybody who's involved.
It really is. It's, again, one of those win-win-wins.
Yeah. And it actually just occurs to me, you could start some coaching sessions about running with your coach.
Oh, we'll see. Exactly.
Yeah, it's
good point.
Anything could be covered.
You could have an awareness coach.
You could have both, I guess. But yeah, you could take on anything and see how what happens with the voices and what happens around commitment and all of that stuff. The support you need is built into the program. It's pretty great.
Oh, really great. Really great. It flew by, Jeffrey, but we're almost at 5 o'clock. So anything else you wanted to touch on before we end?
Oh, my goodness. It's just a privilege to practice. Feels so wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So if someone does want to follow up and wants an awareness coach, Sangha Marcus?
Yes, indeed. And you'll find out all the information about it's under the services part of Sangha Market.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Jeffrey, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Michael, I have one thing I want to tell you before I pass it over to you and Sherry.
Okay.
And that is, this requires a drum roll.
Okay, drum roll.
Drum roll. The new book can be ordered right this very minute on the new Keep It Simple website.
Oh, wow.
So is that not exciting? Wow.
That is exciting. And I'm practicing restraint and religious observances.
Very good.
Don't
go there. I'll explain how to do it. So you go to the Living Compassion website, you know, just livingcompassion.org.
Yes.
And then if one of the tabs across the top is online store, books and more, and then the only tab underneath that is Keep It Simple Home.
Okay.
And so you press on that. And when you press on that, in huge, big, beautiful letters is new book by Sherry and Ashwini coming soon. And that you can order it now. And it delivery by May 1st, I think it says.
Oh, wow.
It's a beautiful cover. And the title, I Don't Want to, I Don't Feel Like It, How Resistance Controls Your Life and What to Do About It.
Wow.
So, yeah, really, I can't wait. Very exciting.
Great. Great. That's very exciting.
Yep. So that was all. Have a fabulous show.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Michael.
Yep. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. How are you doing, Sherry?
I'm great. I'm excited, too.
Great.
In fact, the folks have promised that the first copies ever hot off the press will be arriving in Calaveras County tomorrow. So I'm really thrilled to see this
great
little beauty.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Mm-hmm.
That's very fun.
Yes. Yes, it's like welcoming a new baby to the family.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Yeah. So, and you? You're
great.
Doing well?
I'm great. I've been listening to some very old archive shows, and they've been a lot of fun to go back.
Back when we were in a bunker at Stanford University?
Yes.
That old?
Yeah, it's fun. About 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's a long time.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some announcements here.
All right.
Deepen your practice with any of our springtime retreats at the monastery. It's a beautiful time of year, as I'm sure you can attest, Sherry.
Mm.
And the bountiful schedule of retreats includes Rest and Be Thankful, the Your Practice Retreat, and the brand new Be the Person You Want to Find.
Uh-huh.
Also, special springtime retreat, There Is Nothing Wrong With You, offered May 4th through 11th at the monastery, and there are just a few spots left in that.
Okay.
It's a foundational retreat, perfect for a first-time retreat, and it's good to repeat again and again. At this retreat, you'll gain a clearer perspective on how you live your life and how to find compassion for yourself and others. The brand new How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything retreat will also be offered this spring in late June. So the retreat uses, quote, how we do anything, quote, as a clue to see what keeps us from choosing freedom. And it's based on your book, Sherry, by the same title.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. One of your other babies.
That's right. one of the older children.
One of the older children, yes. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to see the whole schedule or to sign up for any of these retreats. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes.
So, Michael, before we ask that first person, I want to acknowledge something. We keep talking about how beautiful the weather is in California right now. I just want to acknowledge for the people who are currently on retreat at the monastery, it's actually freezing cold right now with a wicked wind. But they promise us, the weather being that tomorrow, still windy, warmer, and then it is actually going to get gorgeous and should stay that way so that those people can hang on and not leave here saying, you know, they lie about the weather.
they just tell that story to get us up here.
Yeah, and then they don't care that we freeze to death. Yeah. Okay, so now we're ready, huh?
Okay, great. Let's talk to our first caller. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, this is Beth.
Well, hello, Beth. How are you doing?
Okay. I'm undergoing something pretty intensive at the moment that is a lot of content. But kind of the message that I'm getting from several different sources that I've been kind of working with is kind of the idea that my life is not my fault.
Your life is not your fault.
Yeah. You know, it's, I was raised a certain way, so certain things are going to happen. I karmically came down through a line, a heritage, you know, it's just been a trap for me over and over and over again is that I just got to try harder. It's my fault.
Yeah.
That, you know, things go the way they go. It doesn't mean that it's not my, and I'm shying away from the word responsibility, but it's the hand I was dealt.
Well, yeah. I mean, that still, to me, has a bit of a, and so, you poor sucker.
You're critical.
Yeah. So then you just have to, I actually think of it as it's your best opportunity. Our lives are our best opportunity. Because what goes on for us, what's in our lives is there because we're who we are.
I was born at this time. In this place, in this body. I was born into this family, in this time, in this body. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yes. Although, again, if we can turn that into victimhood if we try, right?
Yes, I'm very good at turning things into victimhood.
Yeah, with karmic conditioning, that is what we're meant to go for, right?
Right.
So, if we realize, and this is a huge paradigm shift, and it's not just a California groovy avocado new age way of looking at things. If you really get it, that there's nothing in your life that isn't there for your benefit, then everything.
But not only it's not my fault, it's for my benefit.
That's correct. So, for instance, if I, I hated my mother, and every job I've ever had, I wind up working for somebody who's exactly like my mother. Now, I can either think God hates me, or I'm doing something really wrong. All of this would, of course, be the result of listening to voices in my head. Or I could stop and consider that, you know, a huge part of the suffering in my life is that I'm living in the story of hating my mother, which is a complete story, right?
Because, I'm an expert projectionist.
Yeah. So if I realize the suffering that has resulted as a result of being trapped in that position, And then how that suffering is maintained, because I keep projecting that reality onto all of these other people. If I get it, that if I stop doing that, all of that suffering is going to go away. But I have to get it that I'm not a victim to these circumstances, that God wasn't punishing me by having me born to that woman, and then I'm not continuing to be discriminated against and punished because of these same people keep appearing in my life. I realize, you know, I can bang my head against that brick wall for as long as I want, and always my choice to stop.
It's my choice.
It's my choice.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the story that I'm, yeah. I mean, I got it like 12 years ago that it's all a story. But I'm getting it on a whole different level that it's all a story.
Yes. Practice is like that, isn't it? We see it. It's like a spiral staircase, right? So we go around.
Yeah.
We see it at that point. We go around again. Now, here, again, is a place people can make a big mistake because they can say, they'll hear voices that say, "What? I've already done this. I already saw that. I already let go of it." Of course, the voices are usually you, right? You've already, now why are you here again? But, of course, you're not here again because you're seeing it from a completely different place.
Well, yeah, because it's like if I'm not in the story, then who am I?
Well, I is not. Ego is not. If a human being is
and
kept in the story. Pardon me?
And that seems to be, I mean, I stepped out of kind of this idea of who I am, and I don't know anything. I'm not grounded. I don't know anything. And so I wake up in the morning and there's kind of a choice. You know, sometimes it's just more comfortable to stay in the story.
Well,
and I'm saying that time.
Whoa, I can't let you get away with that.
I'm confessing. I don't want to get away with it.
It's always more comfortable for ego to be in the story.
Yes. Yes.
That's the basic spiritual issue that's going on. There is either presence and authenticity, which is excruciatingly uncomfortable for ego and is delightful rest for the heart, or comfort for the ego. There's comfort for the ego, which means the human being is suffering.
Ha.
So we're always in one of those two places.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. There's a thunderstorm going on here, and I just looked out the window. I need to get off the phone and call 911. There's a fire.
Okay.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Wow. And we thought we were having weather. Really?
Yeah.
Really not. We just have a little wind here.
Right.
All right.
And we have another caller here. Yes, we do.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Ramita in Charleston.
Hey, Ramita. What's going on?
Weather's fine here. Weather's fine here. No, no drama.
Good. Good. Very good. Very good.
Oh, and I'm doing really well. I had a really lovely experience this morning listening to the Learning to Love Learning radio show from last week.
Ah, uh-huh.
And interestingly, a sidebar, conditioning had me convinced that that was not happening. I think we missed a week, and then it said, it's not happening anymore. So I only happened to stumble across it on TalkShoe and to re-up my awareness of that process still going on. But to listen...
I just said, for goodness sake, that's amazing. I didn't even know we missed a week. So
So there, I miss that. But yeah,
well,
we're definitely moving right along on Thursday night.
Good. Okay. But hearing you, hearing the conversations and hearing out of your mouth, yes, 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 just so many yeses. It just felt, I felt the energy just coming up and this excitement about all of us living larger, not letting egocentric karma conditioning and self-hate keep us small anymore.
Uh-huh.
Just remarkable. And my own experience of that is, you know, I've been practicing with sounding and toning and using voice to increase awareness of sensation in the body.
Uh-huh.
And what's happened is I am more in touch now with the vibration in the body and had an interesting experience of an opportunity came that maybe 6 months ago sounded exciting, but way more scary. And this time, just a wave of energy came up, this heightened sense of intense vibration in the body. And I realized this is actually, it was neutral and then it became pleasurable.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then I had the insight that I can learn to live larger beyond that comfort zone that conditioning was telling me was my limit.
Yes, that's such an important point because comfort zone means this is where ego is comfortably able to consume all of our life force.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And that's where karmic conditioning wants us to stay so that were manageable. And
yeah.
what you've been doing is changing that your level of comfort with the energy in your body so more of that energy is available for you because you're not reaching that threshold and then turning it over to ego to siphon off.
Exactly. Exactly. So mm-hmm. It's like, huh, okay, well, the opportunity passed. I wasn't able to participate in it, but I still had that 24, 36 hours of this huge wave of energy, and I got what I've heard you say, you know, like, oh, yeah, I want another dose of that. Give me another. Bring it on. Let me confront mm-hmm. these fears. Let me see what happens when I don't believe what conditioning is telling me about the sensations in my body.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because all of that, again, just to break it down, I know you know this, but for anybody who doesn't, so all of that energy is there in your body. It gets labeled fear, and then it's turned over to karmic conditioning, to ego, and self-hate for its use, right? So it's feeding off of your energy. This goes back to what we were talking about with Beth, right? When we realize that everything in our lives is there for our good, then something comes up and I get a big shot of energy going through my body that I'm trained to call fear. And I'm meant to go into a story about what that means and feed it all to the ego. But instead,
yeah.
what you're noticing is, wait a minute, if I don't have a story about that energy, it's just energy. Oh, it actually feels good. If I don't think of it as fear, if I think of it as excitement, anticipation, all of those kinds of things, then it feels good. I want that energy. So let's bring on more things that take me to that place that I've been trained to think of as fear. I realize it's just energy. It's excitement. It's for me. Woohoo!
Exactly. And then I move beyond what had been those limits, and I'm living larger and larger, and there's really no barriers. There's no reason to be limited.
In
it's
any
amazing.
Way, shape, or form. And the thing about it, you know, in Zen we have this thing of the gateless gate, right? So you're going along, and not to bore us with old Zen stories, but the point of it is there's this huge wall, right? There's this huge wall. And then all of a sudden, in one of these moments of epiphany, you're on the other side. And you look back, and there's no wall.
Yeah.
Right? 'Cause there never was a wall. The only wall was the wall that we imagined around us, the wall stopping us from being who we are and doing what we choose to do or what's available for us to do. As soon as there's one of those moments of, wait a minute, what if those sensations are actually delight and not fear? Then wouldn't I want more of those? Wouldn't I want to have that experience more and more? You've just stepped through one of those walls, and you look back, and there was never anything there. It was completely imaginary, just a story. Just a story we were being told, and we believed.
Yep, yep.
Very fun,
so,
isn't it?
Very, very exciting. Very, very good, and I'm so grateful.
Me too. I know the feeling. You know, it's like being told this really fabulous secret, or learning. You know, somebody just whispers to you, "Treasure is buried right over there," and you go open it up, and sure enough, it is. And you just kind of can't believe your luck.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The best news of all is everybody's got the treasure. So the fact that you just found the treasure doesn't take anything away from my treasure or anybody else's, because that same treasure is there, buried in plain sight for every one of us.
Absolutely. It's in every moment. If I'm bringing my attention, and you've reminded me, all of us, over and over, it's the attention, bringing the attention to the moment, and whatever is contained here, that's when the treasure's revealed.
That's right. So. And now you just, yeah, and all you can do is thank you and just grin ear to ear.
Exactly. So I'll be grinning when I see you in just a few weeks.
Oh, very, very good. All right. In North Carolina?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Ramita.
Good night, Sherry. Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back live.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Hey, Rochelle. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Yeah, I haven't touched base with you in a while. I just want to let you know how good things are going.
Good. Are you working on another book?
I have another book idea. I'm just letting it develop and everything, but yes, I am.
How did I know that?
Well, it was so much
fun. That's great.
It was so much fun to write it, and just the whole process was so much fun. So I have another idea that's kind of coming around. I try not to push it and try not to let ego get in contact with it, and just kind of let it lie for a while. So,
yeah. So Rochelle,
yes.
I want to interrupt you for people who don't know. They can go to Sangha Market and find The Puppy Soul, which is your first book,
yes.
And one of my all-time favorite books for children of any age.
Thank you so much.
Including my age, so to give people an idea about that. So anyway, now go ahead.
It was a lot of fun. It really was. And, you know, books take on a life of their own after they're published and stuff. And so it's been interesting just watching this. But I do have another book in mind and conversations with me and my niece and the puppy. And so that's been good.
Good.
Yeah, so in my practice, I've been really practicing around the privileged environment, just in life in general. And there was a quote on a recent peace quote, a quote from Buddha about, before you propose to speak, you must ask yourself, is it true, is it necessary, and is it kind?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been really practicing around this because, for me, ego has a lot to say.
Yeah,
and,
I think for all of us, ego, we could all make that statement, right? A lot of opinions, beliefs, assumptions, attitudes, all like that.
It does, it does. It really works me over with all these beliefs that I have to say something. It's forever, it's famous, or its most popular quote is, silence is the language of the oppressed. And so it just is always prodding me to say something and to be said. And it's amazing just listening and really thinking about what does what I say need to be said, or is it just ego wanting to voice an opinion? And so it's been interesting. I've really enjoyed practicing around that privileged environment and that restraint about what I say and if it needs to be said. Yeah.
Oh, it's good to put that in with Michael was joking a little earlier about practice of restraint and religious observances with not going to the website. And that's bringing that in again with looking at that guidance, that encouragement from the Buddha to really restrain ourselves until we have a moment to ask ourselves, is this really necessary? Is this kind? Is it helpful? Is there any reason actually to put this out in the universe?
Exactly, exactly. And it gives me space between hearing and space before I respond. It also is an opportunity to stop things that are just emotionally driven, that really just don't need to be said or don't even need to be observed or doesn't even need to be paid attention to. Emotion's just energy, and so, you know, it's like, wow, that's a real surge of energy, but I don't need to necessarily respond to it or try and act upon it or what have you. And so it's really been very helpful for me. And it has actually helped me redirect some energy to positive things. And so I really am enjoying this, where a lot of times I spend a lot of energy trying to explain, trying to talk about stuff and things like that. And a lot of times it's just like, you know, it's just energy. Let me, you know, walk around.
Do the dishes.
Yeah, do the dishes, do something. And then see if it needs to be said. And most of the time it doesn't need to be said. And I go on. And so it is what I'm practicing around right now. I just want to touch base and let you know that I'm, you know, still – I feel like I'm still the year of deepening practice and still working on those things. So I'm very pleased. I follow along with the Sangha, and I'm doing reflective listening buddies and listening to the archives and the radio show. And so I really am very supported in this. And the daily peace quotes and things give me things to think about, but that's really what I've been looking at recently.
All right. Well, it's grand. And it's always good to when folks check in, because I think I was just talking about this recently. You know, it's easy for us not to consider how other people might experience us. And so in practice, we know we run into that a lot where the voices would say, oh, it doesn't matter if you're there. You know, nobody, you don't need to call in the radio show. You don't need to show up for that. You know, nobody's going to, but people do. And so, you know, we wonder because,
yeah.
you know, you come and live with us for a month. You know, we're you belong to us.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you disappear for any length of time, there's this feeling, you know, the energy, the antenna kind of goes out there. Where is Rochelle? Where is Bob? So it's good when people check in and support Sonia in that way. I'm still here.
Yeah. And I will see you
still
next at the retreat here in North Carolina.
Oh, also in North Carolina?
Yes.
Fabulous.
So,
of course, we're practically in your backyard. We'd really be suspicious if you didn't show up for that, huh?
Yeah, there's no reason for me not to show up for that.
I
my schedule, and you know that time is protected, and so I will be there.
Excellent. I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Rochelle.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, I just wanted to echo your point. It is really great to hear from people, you know, that we haven't heard from in a while. And I think I can get caught in that trap of kind of like, you know, I don't want to take up time or I don't want to take up time on the radio show, but we need people. We want to hear from everybody.
We want people to take up time.
Yeah.
That's why we do this.
Right.
And I thought about that, Michael, when you were saying you were listening to some of the early archives. And I'm sure that you hear people on there who were around for a period of time, and then we haven't heard from them in years.
Yes.
And you just think, well, gosh, I hope they're all right. I hope they're, still practicing. I hope they're whatever it is. And so, good. Good to check in. Good to take the time. Good to participate. Good to be a part of.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Stefania.
Hey, Stefania. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm just surprised because I've been trying for a month now, and I was never able to. And it's just so funny.
And they said,
anyway.
You are unmuted. Oh, my goodness. Well, what's going on?
Ups and down, actually, ups and down. I've been, I had some very good days and some very, very difficult and dark days where I was just spinning around and I don't know, actually. In fact, I just keep trying to call and I didn't know exactly what I was going to talk, as many other people said in the past.
It's just to make that connection.
Yes. Like try not to feel alone, like alone and hopeless, because that was the feeling on some days, feeling hopeless and feeling that everything is just not true. Everything good, of course. Everything that is not good is all true.
Exactly.
So, it was very scary, and some days I felt like it was, I don't know, I'm lost now. I'm just so excited.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, you know, the thing I'd like to underline in that for all of us is, again, karmic conditioning wants to get us alone and isolated because that's the way it can most effectively work on us. If we're in touch with practice and with Sangha and we're feeling that connection and support, it doesn't have the same ability to get us and get to us. So it is really important. And of course, you know, then you try for a month and you can't get through to anybody. That's difficult. And there's making the effort. And still, even if you don't get through and we're not in a conversation, you're with Sangha. Right, so other people are there and talking, and usually whatever we're talking about, whatever anybody's talking about, we can all relate to because we're basically all doing the same thing all the time. And so it's really important to keep making every effort we can to stay in contact, not to let it get us alone and isolated.
Yes, no, definitely. In fact, yes, when I was listening in the past few weeks, there were always, again, as usual, some connection. At the same time, you know, the little thread was kind of getting worn out, and I was like, I'm going to just fall in the hole, and then I know I might come out. I had the best retreat a couple of years ago where I had the feeling of faith in the universe, faith in whatever energy that really keeps us all connected together and everything. And then that faith is something that I kind of faded away, because with faith, there was the hope that everything would be fine. But then when something bad happened, bad or difficult, then if you're like, okay, and I mean, I can accept everything, of course, but at the same time, there's this feeling like the why. I mean, of course, yesterday Boston thing is one thing, but other times, again, there's this difficult to accept. My problem is to accept when things are not good, and I'm not saying good only for myself, good for other people. And I just don't know how to accept in a way that is not crazy and is not selfish at the same time, because my life is very easy in many, many, many ways. And that's my problem, because when my life is happy, or then I feel guilty because it is. And when it's bad, I feel guilty because it shouldn't be bad. I mean, I shouldn't be bad because it's not that bad. You know what I mean? So basically, the spinning circle, and I never get out.
Right.
And
it slowly wears you down, right?
Yes,
it
does.
Just over time, it wears us down, because it's just, you know, it's not, there are jokes about this. You know, it's like, it's not the calamities, it's not the tragedies in life that get us down. It's the little day-to-day things, right? It's the it just slowly picks at you and picks at you and picks at you, and you're trying to stay up and feel good and focus on the, but it just keeps picking away at you until finally the energy starts to, you know, you kind of hit a tipping point and the energy starts sliding away. And then when we're on that downhill slide, it's really difficult to get ourselves back into an equilibrium. And along with what we were talking about originally with Beth, it's really difficult for us to get it that this very thing that I'm experiencing right now, this is my work right now. Because the way karmic conditioning wants to frame it for us is what I'm experiencing now is a problem. It's wrong. I shouldn't be having this experience. So if my life is very good, I'm privileged, life is really easy compared to almost everybody in the world, and I feel bad about that, I feel guilty, or I don't feel as grateful as I should feel, okay?
Yeah.
I get focused on the content of that, on the story of that, rather than realizing, wait a minute, that's what I'm working on right now. I'm now in a place where I get to see, I get to practice with, what the heck is guilt? You know, or why do I feel bad because I have a lot? And it's not an intellectual exercise, it's what's going on with karmic conditioning and me that I'm believing that story. So that's my work, is to see through that belief system, to see through that story. And what we're trained to do is hope that the story will go away so that I won't feel that way any longer. And that's not what awareness practice is.
So
Did you follow me on that?
I kind of got lost halfway. So, yes, I feel exactly that way. So, I'm very privileged. I have a lot of good things that happen. And then something, of course, is not ideal, and I feel sorry or bad or guilty or something. But then I make it in comparison with many other problems in your world and not the universe. And I feel like, why do you make any problem about that? It's just much, such a small thing. So I need
to look at
the karmic conditioning. Go ahead.
So that's your workshop.
Mm.
That's right. So there are 10 million things that go on in people's lives that cause suffering, right?
Yep.
Different permutations on variations of themes, right?
Yep.
And what we're doing in awareness practice is bringing awareness to what's going on so that we can see it, see through it, drop it, and not suffer over it any longer. But what we're conditioned by ego to do is not want to face it, not want to break it down and see through it, but to just feel bad and kind of cringe and hope that it'll go away, because what it means is there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's seeing through that whole process that we have the opportunity to do in awareness practice. So every day you get up and you go, okay, what's going on? And you realize, well, this thing happened and now I feel guilty because I'm not grateful for all of the good stuff I have. Okay, great. So you write that out. There, that's what I'm looking at today. Huh. What's going on with that? What do I believe about that? What are the assumptions? Where do I feel that in my body? What am I being told by the voices? What? So I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing through the story rather than just believing the story and feeling bad.
Okay.
Yeah? And then the next
day
you get up and something else will be going on. And you approach that something else in exactly the same way.
And then hopefully doing that, it would kind of disintegrate, because I realize it's just a building castle that I or family conditioning made up for me
to
make me feel bad.
That's right. And what happens on a process level is that you are then, you go from being identified as a person who has this problem and feels bad to being identified with awareness, looking at what happens to a human being and how a human being is made to believe a story and feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
okay.
The whole difference.
Being
identified as a person who's caught in a story and feeling bad is suffering.
Yeah.
Realizing what I, all this is in little quotes, I'm making little quote signs in the air, what I am is the awareness that can observe all of that happening. That's liberation. That's freedom. That's joy.
Okay.
So as soon as we get to awareness, we're home free. And then, of course, we get pulled into the next drama, the next story, the next whatever it is. We see that. Step back into awareness. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
See how it happens. Ah, I see that. Okay, great. Next.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Yeah. More active than passively, basically.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Very active. An explorer, like a scientist, finding the cure for whatever it is. Very active, going after it.
Yeah.
Good. All
okay.
right. Well, I could say stay in touch, and we know that you'll try.
Yes. Thank
right?
you.
Okay.
Thanks
All
so
right.
much.
Good
Bye. Night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank
Good
you. Night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Stefania. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear an important message, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey there, Michael and Sherry. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hi.
Oh, hello, Sherry. What is going on in your world?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many things, and the one thing that I want to say that I loved is during that last little radio announcement, I had the chance to watch all of these emotions come up that conditioning wanted to call fear. And I was practicing, I love it, that earlier in the call when you were just talking about that, about I just was like really practicing, like, what is it if it doesn't have a story? What is it if it doesn't have a story? It's just fun. It's just energy. It's just excitement.
Exactly so.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, we can carry that even beyond that if we want to. Any emotion is just physical sensations and a story.
Mm.
Right? Without the story, we're just left with the sensations.
And the thing that is so great about, I mean, really, I just wanted to call in tonight because it felt like it'd been a while and I really wanted to participate and I'd been getting all kinds of information about, you know, my practice and blah, blah, blah from conditioning. And but, you know, as it always works out, just sitting here on the call is just, it's always the perfect antidote to any of that.
Yes, it is. And that's true. That's true all the time. So, as you know, it's why recording and listening is so powerful. It's why listening to the archives of the radio show is so powerful for people, because it puts us in the energy of presence.
Mm.
It takes us out of the story of karmic conditioning, puts us in the energy of presence. And I think we were just talking about this last week or sometime. So Michael was listening to radio shows from 10 years ago. And listening to that puts us into the present, because that's happening in presence.
Yeah.
So there is no past. It's not like, oh, I'm listening to a radio show from 10 years ago and, you know, none of this is relevant and these people have moved on and it doesn't matter. It's always now. So in the same way that when we're in conversation with egocentric karmic conditioning, it's never now. It doesn't matter if it's talking to me about how much I hate what's going on right now. It's not now. And when we are in presence, it's always now, no matter when it happened.
Yes, and you know, I just love this. Something just connected that someone said on another Sangha call earlier this week that I just loved, which was that there was something about not abandoning oneself. So it's like there's something about just calling in that,
yes.
Like, oh, I know what it was. It was like real proof. He said, this is real proof that I'm here for me. Like,
uh-huh.
In a way that is just so solid, and it's true. Like, so just even sitting here, whether I get on or not, it doesn't
yes.
matter, because it's proof
right.
to myself that I'm here.
Yes. Yes. And of your commitment, right? Of your commitment
yes.
to working out your own salvation diligently.
Yes.
So it
yes.
doesn't actually matter. That's why anything that we are doing that is practice related. And I'm when I say that, I'm not just saying our practice. It's when anything is designed, aimed, meant to bring us into authenticity rather than being lost in karmic conditioning, that's what we're going for.
Yes. And I love that, because one of the things, this is something that I've been really looking at, conditioning. I was traveling for a few weeks and wasn't able to be on some calls and things, and so conditioning was saying, well, you're just not practicing. But the truth of it is there were a lot of situations while I was away that I was really called right smack into the moment. And conditioning wants to say that unless it's this formalized, you know, thing with the Sangha, that it doesn't count. And I'm just
of
so
course
happy.
It does.
Right, because, and someone so compassionately pointed this out to me when I was saying this on another call, which is that it's like, you know, this is why we practice, right? I mean, we practice so that then, you know, all these other moments of life we can be there.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And in fact, that's what we're doing with this, right? So we do this, we come back to presence, we realize what that feels like. We feel the heart open, and you know, we're talking with people, we're listening to people. The heart opens. We're right here. Okay? Then we move from that place. So I'm familiar with that. I know what it feels like to be present, have my heart open, feel that connectedness, that interconnectedness, and then I practice taking that into the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment, as they become now. Yeah, and more and more situations, and my attention is on heart open, being present, being with the breath, being in the body, not caught up in the stories, not going with conditioning, staying right here, feet on the ground, breathing, here I am, feel that, that's what I'm practicing, and I'm just doing that in situation after situation after situation after situation. That's what practice is.
Oh, I love that. It was just so beautiful just to hear you do that, just each second passing. Oh, my God, that was great.
Good.
Oh.
And so what that tells me is you were doing it right along with me.
Oh, yeah. I just, it was great. It was like a ride. It was an adventure.
Good.
Yeah. I'm going to hop off so that you can get another caller in, and Deep Gusho.
Deep Gusho to you. Great talk with you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Michael.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Jodine.
Hi.
Well, hello, Jodine.
Hello.
How are you?
It's been a while, yeah, and I feel like I'm just sitting here on every call saying amen, amen to that, you know.
good.
So I don't have very much time, but starting my timer, I don't even think I have 5 minutes. You know, I just want to follow up on Ramita's call real quickly. One of the things that I'm doing for the Being Lit Up Together year-long retreat is I'm having a new practice bracelet every quarter.
Oh.
And I have been on the fence. I couldn't decide. I have like 3 ideas for this quarter. And what I finally decided was treasure.
Uh-huh. So for folks who aren't in that year-long retreat, this quarter is about the body, right?
Right.
And
I was thinking of precious.
Yeah, we were talking about what a treasure the body is. What an extraordinary, well, the obvious fact that we don't think of very often, which is without the body, there's nothing, right? And yet we treat it often as if it's kind of extraneous or just something to be used and abused by whatever the mind is doing currently. And so for this quarter, we're really going to approach the body as the very precious treasure that it is. So now you're looking at a practice bracelet that's going to support you in remembering that.
Yeah, yeah. And it feeds into the last quarter, because my practice bracelet for the first quarter was House of Joy.
Uh-huh, House of Joy. Very nice. So again, now for people who don't know what we're talking about, if people are not familiar with our practice, they'll notice that often most of us have on some kind of a bracelet that says something that is what we're currently focusing on in our practice. So every time we look down at our wrists, there it is. And so yours was House of Joy. And now for this time, staying in touch with keeping an awareness of the body, then you're going to come up with whatever that reminder is. So every time you read it, it brings you back to your commitment to treat your body as the treasure that it is.
Yeah, yeah. And the end of the House of Joy poem was about realizing that I am the secret treasure bearer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's treasure mm-hmm. in that.
Yes.
That one
yes.
too.
And I don't know if you know this, but in Zen, the treasure house is often the language that's used for authenticity, for our Buddha nature. And it's opening your own treasure house. So we must work out our own salvation diligently. So that's what that means. I think that's what the Buddha was encouraging us to do, that we have to stop looking outside for the answers. And, of course, looking to conditioned mind is looking outside, even though most people think conditioned mind is inside. It's not, because it's all been added on to the original mind that we had authentically, originally. And so we stop looking to that, and we start looking to our own treasure house and opening the treasure chest of our own Buddha nature, which is authenticity, insight, intuition, presence, being lived by life, being lit up, all of those euphemisms that we come up with that point at that same original nature.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very good.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to call back because I'm in a situation where something's happened in my life where my hair is on fire.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I am so grateful for the practice because I've already seen how, 15 years ago, I would be suffering immensely over this, and I'm not, like, there's I'm going in and out of some suffering places, but I'm really, like, able to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten into more of my deep karmic places, basically. And so, you know what, maybe I'll just say, because there's only a minute or something left, one of the things that I've been doing is I have been looking over 2012 when I was calling the show regularly. Like, I was really making an effort. That was part of my practice commitment last year, was to call the show more regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been going back and finding those conversations, and I'm working right now on trying to put them all together in a playlist, which is not that hard. You have to be able to edit audio, but there's like shareware out there to do it, and this show is so powerful Of course, everyone's talking about, you know, when you are just sitting on the line and thinking, will I get on, and hearing, you know, the other people in the Sangha sharing, but also just going back over that, the year for me and putting those things together has just been really powerful.
Yeah. So with recording and listening, of course, the reason that we're so inspired by that and eager for people to do it is that we can keep track of what happens with us. We can see the patterns that we get into and how karmic conditioning pulls us into these places over and over, and we can see the insights. You know, we can have the insights in front of us rather than the conversation that karmic conditioning wants us in about what's wrong and what's missing and that sort of thing. So having a record like that, pulling those out, there's you identified in that place, or you looking at an identification with that place in a conversation about it, and then you put those one after the other, it's a really good picture of what happens in a person's practice life, and great reminders, because those are going to be up again in 2013, aren't they?
You think so?
I think so. They were in 2011 and in 2010 and 2009. So, yeah, I bet so. Because we continue to be who we are, and we continue to have the karma we have. And as we were talking about earlier in the show, it's like a spiral staircase. So we just keep cycling around, seeing our issues at deeper levels with greater clarity, and enjoying bigger freedom.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jodine.
Thank you. Gosho. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Michael?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, there you are.
Helps when I unmute myself.
Did we have quite a long conversation while you were muted?
Not that long, fortunately.
Oh, good, good. All right, well, I think we've hit the end of our time. So
yes, we have.
Next week?
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Michael. Good night.
Okay, good night.